Good to see all of you here today. I'm so thankful for your presence. This morning, I'm not going to talk about anything new to you, I don't think. But if it is, listen closely, because I want to make sure this is understood. I hope I go slow enough that people will understand and know. The church is attacked all around us. Our friends, our neighbors, our cousins, our loved ones, they're all attacking the church. You know, by their good deeds sometimes, they make us doubt the church because they're doing good things and we're not necessarily doing those good things. But good things ain't what the church is about. Being a good person is not what the church is about. The church is about Jesus Christ. The church is His church. And that's sometimes what we forget. It don't belong to me. It don't belong to you. It's Christ's church. And the world is against it. And everywhere you can think of. They got false churches, many churches. You know, there's a church right over here. I won't call its name, a big white church. And then right over up there and go down the road a little bit, there's another church on the hill. A big, long church. And it came from that other church. One guy decided that he didn't like it. So he went down there and he went over there and got some more people and he started his own church. Well, both of them can't be right. We got people going, both of them right in here. Something wrong. Something wrong every way we turn. The church is under attack constantly. And we need to be aware of it. We need to be aware of what the church really is. And so I'm going to bring several sermons on the church. This is just one, and I don't know how many there be, but there's going to be many more. We're just going to talk about the church. You know, God takes His worship very serious. We can read stories in the Old Testament, and we can see He was serious about the worship service, more so than anything else. We read here about a man named Saul and what he did. God had told him to go and destroy the Amalekites, and he went down there. And he did. He destroyed the Amalekites. But he didn't keep the word of God. Because God had told him to kill all of them. Men, women, suckling, ox, sheep, everything. Not leave anything alive. Well, he and the people decided they would bring back the best of the sheep. Make a big sacrifice to God. Bring the old king Agag back. And he would kill him before the Lord and all that. And all it really was trying to do was build him up. Make Saul a bigger man. And let God be a smaller thing. But God had told him. It's what Samuel spoke to him by the word of the Lord. Had the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Is it in obeying the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. God wants us to obey Him. Not somebody else. Not some preacher. You know, the most important words in the Bible is God said. And not what somebody, not the preacher said, not what I say, not what somebody else said, it's what God said. That's what's most important. And so what's most important about the church is what God has said. And He said right here, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because as rejected the word of the Lord, He has also rejected thee from being king. All these churches around here are rejecting God's word. What they are doing is having idolatry. It's not really worship. They call it worship. You know, Jesus said, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. That means their worship was useless because they're teaching the commandments and teaching of men. And so we see, if you're not obeying God in your worship. You know, we make mistakes. We lie. We cheat. We're human beings. God is more acceptable to that than He is taking His church and taking His kingdom and the instructions He's given and not following them. You know, it don't cost me anything to have communion. It don't cost me anything to assemble under the name of Christ. Like it would if I lied to somebody to get their money. That's a different kind of sin. But when the church sins, the whole body is guilty and involved in it. And so if he rejected him from being king, don't you think he would reject us from being Christians? We're supposed to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. So certainly, if we didn't follow the word, we didn't do what God said do when it comes to his worship, he would also reject us. So we're going to look at this church. Jesus said, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We're going to have that verse many times. And not today, but in our study of the church. Who built the church? Christ. How many did he build? Oh, it says, my church. He built one. Who did it belong to? It's his. And guess what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hell's not going to hold you. You're in his church. Hell can't keep you. He's coming back and he's going to take us all up into heaven with him. He said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and I go and prepare a place for you. I come again and receive unto my own, that where I am, you may be also." So he put a place for us in heaven for his church. And he's coming back. He's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that do not obey the gospel. But he's coming back, and he's taking the church up into heaven to that place that he has prepared. You see, it was his church. He built one church. He didn't build many churches. He built one church. That means they have the same faith, they have the same doctrines, they teach the same things, and they do the same things. Not that we're clones and we don't all do the same thing, each one of us as individuals, but the church does. 1 Samuel 15 and 23, we repeat this again. "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because I have rejected the word of the Lord, he rejected thee from being king." Many times we're spoiled as children. We grow up spoiled and we want our way, we want what we want, how we want it, when we want it. And it applies in the church. If the church is not what I want, if they're not going the way I want to go, I just leave it. That's not the way it should be. In Romans 16 and 16, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The church of Christ salute you." Well, this is one place where it's called Church of Christ. And I had a fellow tell me when we first started to talk about church, he said, "The name's not important, it's what you do." And I kept my big fat mouth shut. I should have said something. The name is important. Because it is the church that belongs to Christ. It is his name. It's not my name or your name. I wouldn't want my wife to be called by the Stevens instead of Greer. You want your family. We're called Christians. Why? Because we belong to Christ. And so the name is very important. You think about it. If you meet under some other name, you took glory and preeminence away from Christ. You took the preeminence that should have belonged to him. And in Acts 20 and 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Who purchased the church with his own blood? Jesus Christ. You see, he bought it. It's his church. Jesus Christ purchased the church with his own blood. And so we see the name Church of God. It's a good name. It is a scriptural name for the church. But there ain't many of them around either. But that's the right name. They don't mean what they do is right, but it is the right name. And then we see this name. "To the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spiritual just men made perfect." Firstborn. Who was the firstborn among many? That was Jesus Christ. When it said that, it was talking about Jesus. And you see their name, they are written in heaven. And we have our name in heaven. What a glorious thing it is for you and I to be in the church of Christ. The church that Jesus Christ built. Because our names are written in heaven. So we see the Bible gives us these names for the church. Church of Christ, Firstborn, church of God. When you assemble under any other name, you're taking away the honor, the preeminence, and the glory that belongs to Jesus Christ. That's sinful. And he said in Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body of the church. What? The body is the church? Who's the head? Jesus Christ. Who's the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Christ is the head. That's why we wear his name. And he has the preeminence. And the body is the church. There's no conference that's over the church. There's no pope or bishop that is over the church. There's no convention that is over the church. The church answers to Christ. He's the head. We have no other head. And so he is over us all. All the churches are autonomous, and they all work individually separate because they just answer to God. We answer to God. The others answer to God. All the churches answer to God. All the churches of Christ will answer to Christ and to God. So if you're in a church that answers to a conference, that has a pope, that has a convention, that has a head of it somewhere else, that's not the church Christ built. Christ built the church, and he's the head. Where's Christ today? He's sitting on the right hand of the Father in heaven. So the head of the church, the headquarters, is in heaven where Christ is at. It don't have an earthly headquarters. There is one body, one spirit. If you're going to call him one hope, you call him. Well, people get mad and you say there's only one church. The body is the church. The Bible says there's one. Not two, not three, not four. One. Just saying, you know, that wouldn't have no problem if you say there's one Lord. Some of them have a problem with one spirit. And you call it one hope, or you call it, we all have the same hope and the same calling because we're in the same one body. One Lord, one faith, one baptism that saves. Only one that's given him water. One God, Father of all, is above all and through all and in you all. There's one. I don't know why we have trouble understanding that. That's what it says. You know, I regret that my parents, neither one of them, would walk the way of Christ. Neither one of them would obey the gospel. I regret that. But there's nothing I can do about that. I loved them, but I couldn't get them to do it. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife. Even Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We can't say that too much. All things that the church does are subject to Christ. We don't need to do anything that he does not approve of or say was okay. Over in Leviticus 10:1-2, there was set up the worship and there was two priests. God said, don't let this fire go out. They let that fire go out. And so they brought in strange fire that he did not command them to do. And God sent down fire out of heaven to devour them, making them examples to all everybody that followed, that their worship would be done according to what God said. And that, you know, we want to do the worship today according to what Christ has said. For he's the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the church. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the church. What's going to be saved? It's church. I hear people all the time tell me, oh, the church don't save you. I walked to one man's house and invited him to our meeting. That's the first thing he said to me. Church don't save you. Wait a minute. You misunderstand. The church ought to save. The church didn't save you, no, but the church ought to save. Are the people that go to church with you that's not going to be saved? Yes. But just because you sit on a pew don't mean you're saved. It's the ones that are in the body of Christ and do the will of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 24. Then cometh the end of this world, end of all things, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. What's going into heaven? What's going to be given to God? The kingdom. Even the Father, which when he shall put down all rule and all authority. So I ask you a question. What's the kingdom? It's the church. The church and the kingdom are the same thing. The church is going to be delivered unto God in heaven. That's how you're going to get there. If you're not in that church of Christ that he built, that's the one that's going to heaven. That's why it's important. See, it said, Matthew 16:18, just in case we didn't catch this. I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it says, Peter confessed he was the Christ, and then Christ confessed Peter. That's the rock the church built on, the confession. And then Matthew 16:19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So Christ is telling the apostles and Peter, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven concerning his kingdom, the church. See, the church and kingdom are used interchangeably. So whatever he bound on earth was bound in heaven. Whatever they loosed on earth was loosed in heaven. And we see Peter bound something. He said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said, and Peter said, and repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter bound baptism. He bound it here on this earth, and it's bound in heaven. What did he lose? Well, you can read all the book of Acts and all through the New Testament. You will not find one reference, one instance, referring back to the feet washing, which was done by Jesus. Not there. Peter must have loosed that. He didn't bind it. Luke 10 and 20. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that your spirits are subject unto you. Rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's where the name of those that are in his kingdom. When you become a member of the Church of Christ, when you were put in it by God, he said, translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, your name was written in heaven. Hebrews 12:23. To the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and name is written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spiritual just men made perfect. The church has its name written in heaven. What a glorious thing to think about. Hebrews 12:25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, talking about Moses, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Those folks back there had to obey Moses, or the punishment was death. We're thankful for the grace of God today that when we break his law, we don't die right then. But you know, not all of them did either, but that's what the punishment was said, you know. Like he didn't kill David because he had committed adultery. He let him, he showed grace and mercy unto David. As it said in, let's see if I can get this right, Isaiah 53:3. He said, come unto me and hear, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. We want those mercies of David when it comes to our sins. But when it comes to the worship and the kingdom, God declares what he wants. And he wants what he said. And we need to beware. You know that he was merciful unto them over and over and over. Finally, he sent the Assyrians, and then he sent Babylon to take them away. Matthew 17:5, when he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Surely the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, should hear him. Not somebody else, not some preacher, not some pastor or man we think got great knowledge. Open your Bible and read and see what God had to say, what Christ had to say. We'll hear him. Wherefore, in Hebrews 12:28, we, receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. This kingdom, the church, is an everlasting kingdom. He said so in Daniel. He repeats it over and over. It's a kingdom that cannot be moved. It'll be here when the earth is gone. It'll be. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The kingdom, the church, is for all people. No matter what nationality, no matter what race, color, skin you got, it's for all people. Regardless of what language you speak, it's for all people. And he told them to go teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You teach them and you baptize them, but you got to go. That's where we fall down sometimes. We got to go. They're not coming here to hear this sermon. They not. They won't come to our revivals. You got to go where they're at. To teach them about the kingdom of God, about the church of Jesus Christ. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And so that's why I'm teaching on the church. We've been baptized, I think, just about everybody here. And now we've got to teach all things, to observe all things. And that's one we need to understand and cling to. That's my lesson for you this morning. Lord willing, I live long enough, I teach again on the church. It's a very important subject. And it's a subject we need to thoroughly understand so that our friends and our loved ones don't persuade us to leave it or to get out of it or not teach them about it. You know, I preached this a long time ago. If you love somebody, you want to see them saved. You don't want to see them lose their soul. People say, I love you, and they wouldn't let anybody come by and steal your car or to take away your dog. We won't take care of the dog for them. We tell them somebody after your dog, but we let them steal their soul. Let the devil steal your soul and say nothing about it. And just keep quiet. Don't say nothing. They're friends. We'll lose a friend. We might. We might save a friend. But that's our lesson this morning. If you're here and subject to the gospel call, you need to be baptized in Christ. If you need